bless you in the name of Jesus. All right, today I'm going to deliver a sermon to encourage every one of us. All right, if you have the Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. I'll read from a portion, and then I'll skip. I'll go to another portion. So there'll be three portions, and then later on we'll go to the Gospel of John. All right, so the starting scripture is Luke chapter 22, please, verse 31 to verse 34. All right, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 says, "And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sieve you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." And he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And then further down in the scripture, I'll skip some verses and down to verse 54. "And having arrested him," that means Jesus, "they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had a kindle of fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' After a while, another saw him and said, 'You are also one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So Peter went out and wept bitterly." And then the next portion is John chapter 21. We'll read from verse 15 to verse 17. Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15 to verse 17. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lamb.' And he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him in the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" So let's pray. Father, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we know, Father, there's a word for every one of us here. And your word is going to motivate, is going to encourage, and is going to be the lifter of our head. So, Lord, we just want to entrust, Father, this morning, the sermon to you, and ask that you speak through your servant, Lord, in a very powerful way, and that your people will receive your word with gladness. So, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you make these things alive in us, and that we will take it and set, Lord, the fire aflame, Lord, that you have reserved for every Christian, that will be set ablaze for your glory, that will be passionate, Lord, that our first love will be restored, and that we will, Lord, do all things, Lord, out of the attitude of love, out of the heart of love. And we know, Father, that you have reserved for us, Lord, a great destiny. So we commit ourselves to you, we surrender ourselves to you, and we ask that your word will come and encourage and restore us, Lord, into your perfect will. In the name of your Son, Jesus. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. All right. As I said, today I'm going to speak on a message that will encourage every one of us. including myself, because I need to hear it myself. And I entitled this message, Bouncing Back from Setbacks to God's Destiny. Now, first and most important thing is we must realize that as God's children, we are all people of destiny. However, underneath the mundane of our everyday lives, a heavenly purpose is being worked out in our life journey on earth. Now, it is a fact of life that along the journey, we all experience some setbacks or failure. Life is not or never always smooth sailing. And we all at some stage in our life will suffer setbacks and losses. And on some occasion, we bring defeat on ourselves because of foolishness, but at other times, those setbacks are beyond our control. They are being thrust upon us. And at times, some setback can seem to overwhelm us. This actually happened to Job. And he felt overwhelmed by the adversity that he faced. And so in Job chapter 17, verse 11, he says, "My days have passed. My plans are shattered. And so are the desires of my heart." There are days that you feel like that. That all your plans have been shattered for some reasons because of those setbacks. And all the desires of your heart have kind of dissipated. And so have you ever felt like that before? Felt very despondent like Job. Now in the case of Job, on hindsight, we know that the source of the attack was none other than Satan himself. And then this also happened to Peter, the apostle. And after a few days before going to the cross, and Satan sought God's permission to sieve Peter like a wheat. And the Lord Jesus told Peter Simon in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to verse 33. He says, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sieve you as a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." And Jesus had the full authority and power. And he could have said to Peter, "Satan has sought permission to sieve you like a wheat, but don't you worry. I have denied him the permission to do so. You don't have to go through the sifting." That could be one possibility. Or Jesus could have said, "Satan has sought permission to sieve you like a wheat, but don't worry, Peter. I'm going to give you the authority and power to destroy his plan." Instead, Jesus was saying something that we would not usually do. Jesus said, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you return to me, strengthen your brethren." Now, from a human perspective, we would think that it would be better to stop Satan's opposition and deny him the permission to do those things. But Jesus' will is not for the setback or the failures to be removed from Peter totally, but for something deep and precious to be done in Peter's life. And so the second point is, what happens to you is less important than what happens in you. Jesus can cause any evil scheme the devil has orchestrated and turn it into something that would change Peter to be the person that God intended him to be. And Satan's purpose, of course, is to burn Peter with the trials of fire. But God uses this fire, it turned around, to refine Peter. And so before attaining God's destiny, God needs to change our character so that we can handle the success associated with that destiny. If not, success will destroy us. Now, change does not come overnight. It takes time. There will be some experiences of pain, setbacks, and ordeal to effect the transformation of our character. There may also be a period of waiting, a period of wilderness, of things, of some failure that you have go through, or even some inactivity. And so let me give you some examples of the people who suffer many setbacks before attaining their destiny. Now, Joseph was destined to be the prime minister. He went through the valley experiences of being thrown into the pit and then later thrown into prison for a crime that he did not commit. Daniel was destined to be the prime minister as well. He went through various setbacks and then he faced opposition from many people. And at one point, he was framed and he was thrown into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were destined to be high-ranking officials in the courts of the king. They also experienced opposition and persecution and went through the valley of fiery furnace. Let me give you another ordinary example of Ruth, an ordinary housewife and mother, was destined to carry the lineage of King David and the Lord Jesus. And he went through many setbacks before attaining her destiny. You can read it in the book of Ruth. She lost her husband. She suffered lack, so on and so forth. And the fifth example is Elijah. Elijah was a prophet to be taken up by the chariots of fire. And he went through setback and suffered depression. And he had to flee for his life. At one stage of his life, he wanted to die. And so all the examples in the Bible show that the people of destiny will go through setback, failures, and at times even depression before attaining their destiny. And so between the promise and the destiny, there is a journey that is in between. And there are a number of valleys to cross and the setbacks to overcome. And the destiny did not come the next day. Jesus, or rather Joseph, had a promise, but it did not come the next day. He went through 13 years of setback before the fulfillment of his destiny. Moses had a destiny and a calling, and he did not become the deliverer the next day. And he had to go through 40 years of wilderness before the fulfillment of destiny. And when God called us to a destiny and gave us a promise in the Bible, he did not tell us about the pit, about the prison, about the wilderness, the valley experience that we have to go through. And God did that on purpose. Otherwise, we will not even dare to take the first few steps. And there is a process that we go through, setbacks and valley experience that we have to endure. Now, when my wife and myself first migrated to Perth, we never thought of filling this role as a pastor. Otherwise, we might not even come here to Perth, Australia. I thought I came here, or our family came here, or myself, I came here to retire, to play golf, and to go fishing. I love fishing. I really enjoy fishing. Not to pastor a church. And so periodically, my children, one of them still teased me. Said, "Dad, where is your fishing boat that you wanted to buy?" Gone with the wind. And after we got into this pastoral role, I can tell you, my wife and I did go through many rough patches along the way. And it really put our relationship through fire. And the various valley and setback experiences often raise some question marks in our mind. Just to be real with you, God is stretching many of you in the various areas of your life. Some in your marriage, and some of you stretch in the family relationship, in finance, job, health, business, church, or ministry. And the valley and the setback experience that you go through are the most vulnerable time. And at times it can be overwhelming. But take heart. If you surrender to God, He can use your failure as a stepping stone for victory. And so what are some of the attitudes to adopt to bounce back from setbacks to God's destiny? First thing is, do not give up. Proverbs 24 verse 10 say, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Another contemporary version translation says, do not give up and be helpless in times of trouble. And often during difficult times of setback, we easily give up. We stop trying because it is a natural human tendency to take the path of the least resistant. Now, if you do not succeed at first attempt, welcome to the human species. If at first you don't succeed, you are normal, because very few people make it on the first attempt. And we may be giving up when success is just round the corner. So, don't give up means that we will not surrender to setbacks, failure, or criticism. It means that you will not quit, you will not surrender, and you will not give up. So let me consider some of the examples of the many setbacks suffered by some well-known individuals of all time. Now, this man refused to give up. He persevered and became one of the giants of human history. In 1832, he lost his job. The same year that he ran for the state legislature and lost. In 1833, he failed in his business venture. 2 years later, 1835, his fiancée died. 1 year later, in 1836, he suffered a nervous breakdown. 1838, he ran for the Speaker of the State Legislature and lost. 1843, he ran for Congress and lost. 1849, he applied for the post of Land Officer but was rejected. 1854, he ran for the Senate and he lost. 1856, he ran for the Vice President and lost. He suffered so many setbacks and failure. Give up? No, he kept going. And in 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected the President of the United States of America. He stood his ground and he fulfilled God-ordained destiny. He refused to give up. Another example, an inspiring inventor tried to find the right element to make a light bulb. He tried the first element, it did not work. He tried the second one, it failed. And he tried the third one, it fell short. And to cut the long story short, he tried the 199th element and it failed again. Imagine he could have given up and quit, but he continued to try the 200th element. Bingo! It was a big success, and he found the right element to make a glowing light bulb. This inventor is none other than the great inventor, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison once said, don't call all those experiments and setbacks a failure. Call it an education. I know now that there are 199 ways that don't work. And so don't see your setback as failure. See it as education. Don't quit. Keep going and keep trying. And there is a wise saying, better try and fail than fail to try. In fact, failure or experiment is a stepping stone to success. Failure and setback is part of the path to success. So, don't fear setback or failure. We just sang the song. As a child of God, we are not slave to fear. And therefore, you must be willing to try things out. You are being prepared for enlargement. God is preparing you for something good, far better than what you think or you ask. And then, second attitude to adopt, keep on praying and fasting. Now, after a few setbacks and failure, often we try to go into prayer again. We don't seem to get the answer. We become discouraged, it's natural. We feel like give up praying. And sometimes we have tried doing all the things, right things, and you still receive no answer. The heaven sounds or rather seems like a brass, and your prayer bounces back. During such crucial moment of setback, you are looking for some answers. You prayed and you asked many questions, but God ain't giving you any answer. Why? One probable explanation is this. God is saying, you are now sitting for an examination. During examination time, there is no giving of answers. All of us have gone through the school system before. When you are in the midst of sitting for examination, your teacher or your lecturer will not answer any question. You have been taught many times before in the past, and it's time for you to apply what you have learned. During such time, we all want answers. In fact, that you thought and acted as though you have not been taught before as to what to do. Most Christians have been taught by the Bible on the many things and many times over, but often we don't apply what we have learned. God may be saying to you, you have received so much already. I've invested in you, much in you, through the various teaching. It's time to apply and produce fruits in your life. And in during such time, though you don't get any answers, you still need to pray, because the prayer will carry you through the temptations. And so what are the few things that the Lord has taught us about prayer? You may ask. If you can remember, I went through James chapter 4. Anybody know James chapter 4? What is it about? It says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure. And so the number one thing is, review the motive of your prayer request. Is it of a selfish motive? If it is, ask God to purify your motive. And second thing about prayer, you need to apply. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11, ask and you'll be given, seek and you'll find, knock and you'll be opened to you. Now, if you study the original Greek language, it is in present continuous tense. It means you need to keep asking, you need to keep seeking, and you need to keep knocking. And such is the attitude we need to adopt. And so you keep on praying until something happens. And there's a third thing that Jesus taught us in Mark chapter 9. And there was an occasion when a man asked Jesus' disciple for help, desperate need for help, because his son was demonized. And so his disciple had experienced power and authority of Jesus before. They lay hands on those people who are demon-possessed, and straight away, you know, they have been cast out. But this time, whatever they applied, it couldn't work for some reason. And so there was a commotion, and Jesus came down from the mountain, and he said, what's happening? And he said, and the father said, I got your disciples to cast out demons out of my son, but nothing works. And so Jesus said, bring him to me. And straight away, when Jesus laid hand, and it was, the demons were cast out. And so the disciples were puzzled. He said, Jesus, we have applied some of the things that you taught us, but no matter how, we couldn't get any breakthrough. What is the reason? And Jesus said, this stubborn kind, does not come out except by prayer and fasting. And so this is what Jesus taught us. We need to, if there is a very stubborn situation, we need to go into prayer and fasting. And so to apply those things that Jesus taught us, we need to review our motive. We must not give up praying. And if it is still problematic, we need to intensify our prayer by fasting and praying until we get the breakthrough. Third attitude to adopt. You forget the former and you focus on the future. After a few setbacks, we tend to focus on the past mistake that we made. We should have done this, we should have done that, this and that, this and that. It does not help you. Now, your past does not determine your future. We need to look and focus on the future. And so, this is what Paul say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 14. He said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, the most important thing I do, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And to paraphrase what Paul says, do not look back to your past. Don't let your past setback and failure defeat you. And so, let me ask you a very personal question. What past memory in your life are you allowing to continue to bother you? And some of you still dwell on the past. I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. Oh, how I regret this. And some of you are allowing unpleasant past to control your future. And that is your mistake. A mistake. Your past is a past. Water under the bridge. You can't just change the past by dwelling on it. So let it go and focus on the future. It is not so much about your past setback, but the direction that you are taking right now that counts. Your past does not determine your destiny. If you have accepted Jesus' offer of forgiveness, one example is Peter. He was devastated by a few failures and setbacks. He denied the Lord Jesus 3 times, and he remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crow, you will disown me 3 times. Then Peter then went outside and wept bitterly. Just imagine how Peter felt. He said to himself, "I hang out with Jesus for 3.5 years. He taught me so many things, and he was my hero. And yet at those 3 crucial moments, I have no guts to even acknowledge Jesus when asked by some ladies." So his self-worth sank to zero. He felt like a complete failure. And Peter thought to himself, "Oh God, how could you ever use me again? I have disgraced you. I'm wretched and ashamed." But he had a godly sorrow. Jesus then appeared to Peter to restore him. And Peter later accepted Jesus' forgiveness. So he repented and he stopped regretting. I'm sure Peter must have thought, "God can never use me again." But on Sunday, Easter morning, when Mary went to the tomb, an angel told her that Jesus had risen. The angel then specially instructed Mary to tell Jesus' disciple and Peter that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. Why had God singled out Peter? I think it was because Peter probably felt, "I don't deserve to be a disciple anymore. I have destroyed my credibility." And Peter needed a positive word of encouragement. So Jesus had directed an angel to say, "Go and tell my disciple, and don't forget Peter." And so Peter repented and was a changed man. The man who denied the Lord 3 times was used by Jesus 40 days later to preach powerfully on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 people committed their life to Christ at Peter's preaching. So it does not matter what your failure is in life. You are not out unless you choose to quit and reject the grace of God. Yes, accept your responsibility for your failure. Stop regretting and start repenting. Forget the former and focus on the future. So God can't change your past failure and setback, but He can forgive your past. God can't change your yesterday, but He can blot out your failure. The blood of Jesus is far greater than your setback and your failure. And God cannot alter your history of setback and failure, but your history does not determine your destiny. You want progress in life? Then don't carry yesterday's burden. Can anything good come out of your life? Yes, because you are a child of God. You have a good and a bright destiny. Amen. Fourth attitude. Trust God to work all things out for good. Romans 8:28, famous verse, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." You may look at your life and say, "My life at this time is ugly." And from our point of view, human perspective, it may look like a mess. We look at our life and think, how could anything good come out of this? We don't know exactly what God has planned. We don't know exactly. But we do know that it is not of evil, but of good. Having a hope and a future. That's why Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And we all can have fresh start in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if you will become a Christian, you become a new creation, a brand new person inside. You are not the same any longer. A new life has begun in you. And God specializes in new beginning. And it is never too late to start over again. It is called born again. Means turning or trusting your life to Jesus. Trusting in Jesus to give you a new life. And how does God take a minus in your life and turn it into a plus? Through the cross. The minus is turned into a plus. You see the cross there is a big plus. And you see God specializing in turning crucifixion into resurrection. Turning setback and failure into resurrection victory. From a minus into a big plus. And Jesus Christ was nailed on the cross so that you could have a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. And that is amazing. Amazing grace. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3. God bestowed upon us a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And that is good news. That is encouraging words from God. What is your faith journey? The last question. What is your faith journey of destiny based on? God, as I said, has a good destiny for every Christian. And the faith journey for us to walk into God's destiny is, of course, a long one. As I said, there are potholes, bumps, valleys, disappointment, and setbacks along the way. And as we serve the Lord and walk this journey of faith towards the destiny, we need to review and know what faith, our faith journey of destiny based upon. Put it another way. What is Jesus looking in you? Looking for in us? Is it talent? Or is it some other things? Willpower, whatever it is. Let us find out from the life story of Peter. Best illustrate what Jesus is looking for in every one of us. Now Peter, after Peter denied Jesus 3 times, he went back to his old profession of fishing. He abandoned his calling and destiny. He thought that he would get back the fun and the pleasure out of his old profession. But it turned out to be a disaster because he fished all night with all the other apostles and he caught nothing. Zero. And Peter discovered there was no more fun in what he was doing before. When you get out of your calling and destiny, what you used to enjoy would no longer be fun and exciting. And after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the apostles and he asked them to go out fishing again. Peter and his few apostles who were professional, they were professional fishermen before. They thought, "What? Are you kidding us? The whole night we caught nothing. And now Jesus wanted us, instruct us to go out fishing again." Nonetheless, they went. And so to their surprise, they had a super big catch. And Peter cried out, "I'm a sinner, depart from me." And Jesus then said, "Follow me and I will make you fisher of men." Not fisher of fish. In other words, Jesus was inviting Peter to return to his calling and destiny. At that crucial moment, Jesus began to ask Peter a very simple question. He asked Peter, "Do you still love me?" And by then, Peter was broken and despondent. His previous self-confidence and self-boast had been given a death blow. He was so sure of himself, but now he was not so sure of himself. Even in answering this simple question, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know, not I know, you know that I love you. I don't know, you know." And often, our failure and setbacks accomplish far more for us in spiritual development than success. We are humbled and we rely more on God. And then God begins to give grace to the humble. Now notice that Jesus did not ask Peter about his past failure, though there are many, at least six of them. The first one was at the Garden of Gethsemane. He's supposed to pray. Jesus asked them to pray, and Peter with other apostles were sleeping. They failed. Second incident, Peter denied Jesus three times. So four failures already. Third incident, Peter was backslided and went back to fishing. Fourth incident, Peter was far away, nowhere near the cross, when Jesus was hung at the cross. Even the ladies, Mary Magdalene and all the other ladies, Mary, they were all not too far away from the cross. But the personal apostle raised up by Jesus, all of them fled except for John. And so many failures. But the most important question Jesus asked Peter is, "Do you still love me?" Not how many times Peter had failed Jesus. And if Peter still loved Jesus, it is good enough for Jesus. Jesus was going to heal and going to restore him. That's why he said to Peter, "Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep." The point Jesus is making, your faith journey of destiny must be premised on love. Not on self-ambition, not on self-confidence, not on to look for fame or power or to look cool. Otherwise, if it's not based on love alone, and even after bouncing back from your setback and failure, you will lack the stamina and the resilience to finish the journey and to reach God's destiny. Though Peter fails many times, God did not count it against him. It is called grace, undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor. And so now we begin to understand why Jesus did not pray that God deny Satan the permission to see Peter as weak. Instead, he prayed that Peter's faith should not fail. And so, Peter failed in many areas, but he bounced back in his faith. His faith did not fail. He finally came back to Jesus. And so what happens in Peter? Now a totally transformed character, a totally humbled person, far outweighs what happens to him. If God were to stop Satan from sifting Peter like a wheat, he may still be very proud, full of self-confidence, you know, very rash, very impulsive, and a few other things. But because of this encounter, because of this sifting, now he is a totally transformed and a humbled person. And so the conclusion I'm going to make, the crux of this morning message is this. Some of you have started off with much love and zeal for the Lord. And along the way, you experience some setback, failures, disappointment, some deep disappointment, and even some disillusion with people, with the leaders, with the pastors, with life. and it has significantly affected your walk with the Lord. You used to be passionate for the Lord, but now your heart has grown cold. Your prayer life may have degenerated. You have lost the fire for the Lord. You lost the sense of belonging in the church or even in a cell group, a life group. And you have backslided in your service to the Lord. But God is not condemning you. He is not asking about how you have failed Him. God is not asking about even your failure. Instead, He's asking you, do you still love Him? It may be small, the love, but do you still love Him? A simple but a powerful question. He's encouraging you and offering you to come back, to bounce back, because He's wanting to restore your love, your passion, and your service to Him. If you love Him, you obey His commandment. You cannot say that, you know, I don't obey your commandment, but I love you. That is a contradiction. The Bible clearly says, how do you know you love Him? Because you obey His commandment. You serve Him. And if you say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, it is good enough for Him as a starting point. And so I'm going to close and get the musicians to comfort. So come to the altar in front. If you want this to be restored in your life, Jesus is asking you this question. Do you still love Him? And if you say yes, you know Lord. And He will do a deep work of restoration in your soul. And so, brothers and sisters, you can bounce back to God's destiny. This is a long marathon, but you can make it if it is premised on love. Lord, help us. Amen. So let's prepare our hearts to sing this enclosing song. And as I said, you need any prayer, just come forward. I would like to pray for Brother Thomas halfway when we sing the song. If I could get him to come forward, we have to anoint him with oil. Thank God that he is already totally healed. And we just want to pray that he'll be rejuvenated. And then he'll be strong and healthy and vibrant once again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, shall we stand? And the rest, if you want to restore in your love for Jesus, just make your way to the front.